This is KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
This is Heart of Iowa volunteer Kay Partick at KHOI. We hope you enjoy the classical music schedule we have introduced into our programs. We are featuring classical music every day from 8 to 10 a.m. and on classical Sundays from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Also, check out Saturday afternoon opera from noon to 3 p.m. In the months to come, we will be introducing classical music hosts. We look forward to enhancing this programming as our station grows with your support. Stay tuned to KHOI Heart of Iowa, your local community-supported radio, KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. And let us know what you think.
Welcome to Local Talk, where we talk about the people, the stories, and the events of Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with my co-host,
Cynthia McClure.
Yes. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, yeah. It's been a pleasure.
This week's show was planned by mostly you, Cynthia.
Yeah.
I went around to talk about
Halloween.
Or, as you would alternatively call it,
Samhain, the pagan holiday.
There's just so many connections with the seasons and how the seasons change. And there's a real natural harmony to it all.
There is a season, a time of peace,
So this is Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here on Local Talk on KHOI with my co-host,
Cynthia McClure.
Cynthia is a reporter for KHOI and has been looking into Halloween, or alternatively called Samhain, for the pagan members of our community.
Ursula, I went out and did some interviewing with different parts of the community. These were very family-oriented Halloween events in different areas of our community. One of them was Iowa Arboretum. It was a really nice celebration.
And these are yearly celebrations they have?
Yeah. These are yearly celebrations. I interviewed these people this last weekend.
Let's listen to that.
This is Cynthia McClure. I'm here recording at the Iowa Arboretum.
And they just sign in and we...
Oh, I love that.
Do you like your costume?
It's grandma's costume.
It's just grandma's costume.
Do you like coming?
Yes.
What's your favorite part about coming here?
Trees.
Hi. Never been here before. Well, I've been to the Iowa Arboretum, but I've never been to a Halloween thing.
What are you looking forward to?
Everything.
Everything?
Uh-huh.
What are you guys dressed up as?
A tiger.
Iron Man?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dracula.
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty.
A vampire.
A ghost.
A vampire, princess.
A dark zombie.
A witch.
Mm-hmm. Do you like being that?
Yeah.
This is a witch.
That's a monkey hat. Little witch hat on top of a monkey hat.
There's no print here at the Iowa Arboretum talking to these families while they're getting ready for the registration table so they can enjoy their day. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, almost. Pick up the spare. There we go. Oh!
Almost. One more.
Almost.
I'm here at Pumpkin Bowling, and your name?
Michael Mart.
You just won a prize, didn't you?
Pick up the spare. Oh. One more time, and then we'll set the pins up for another one. Oh, yeah.
One of the volunteers who was working with balloons here at the Iowa Arboretum for their hullabaloo. Your name, sir?
Gary Gardner. Also known as Professor Wonder.
Professor Wonder, because you work with these balloons? Or?
Well, sometimes I wonder what I'm doing.
What would you describe this as?
Some people call it balloon sculpture. One of the professionals calls what he does origami, making sculptures out of twisted air in latex containers. I can do wiener dogs.
Ooh.
Is that what you want?
You guys want a wiener dog?
Can I do a cat?
A cat. All of my balloons are guaranteed to pop. If for some reason your balloon doesn't pop, just bring it back and I'll pop it for you.
Okay.
Yep.
Never been to the hullabaloo. It sounded like fun. It was a beautiful day, so we figured let's go.
This is our first time here. Actually, I've never been to the arboretum before. This is kind of a nice little place. There's all kinds of different games. Looks like over here on our left, we just got done with the hayride, and they had beanbag tosses. We drove by some kids doing some of those. The maze over here on our right. They got some kind of a patch with leaves. Outdoor backyard stuff, yeah. Yeah, it's neat though. All right, good job, Addie.
It's always a lot of fun every year. It's awesome they do this nice family activity.
Yeah, lots of fun.
And I'm here with my daughter, Madeline Van Pelt. We were here last year.
Kids had a great time.
You want to describe what you see around?
Lots of games when you throw beanbags inside holes. We won some whistles and lots of other activities like hayride.
But no, it's great out here. This is great entertainment for the kids and a gorgeous day.
Fun. Very fun.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Cynthia McClure, and I'm here at Iowa Arboretum with Mark Schneider, who is executive director of the Arboretum. Hello, Mark.
Hello there.
This is a kind of an auspicious occasion with the hullabaloo?
Hullabaloo here at the Iowa Arboretum, and it's for kids grades K through 4th grade. It's an annual event here at the Arboretum, and we have a hayride, a straw maze, and we have pumpkin bowling, and we have games for the kids, for young kids, and it's all about fun. It's no scare. We're not trying to scare anyone. It's just a fun fall activity for the community. Yeah, it's a fun, safe environment for people to come and be outdoors. And the Iowa Arboretum is about being outdoors. And you know, this isn't a learning opportunity, but the Arboretum is about education and providing quality educational programming for the community.
Do you have anything happening for older people?
Well, we do have a second event, which is the evening event, and that's Arbu Scare. And we have a number of things, but it's at night, so there's very little light, and we have a walk through the woodland trails, so we use the darkness as a kind of a little bit of a scary experience. And we do have a hayride, but that's also at night with no lights. And one of the things we did this year is we put together a pumpkin display. So we have approximately 45 different types of pumpkins that we carved this week that'll be on display and lit up. And our goal is to really grow this piece so that we have lots of pumpkins on display. A lot of fun things.
How long has this been going on?
Well, the Hullabaloo, which is the afternoon event, has been going on for a number of years. You can be a destination, but if you can build traditions within the community so that they come back year after year, then it's really a great thing that we are trying to do. It's a great place to come out and walk. A lot of people bring their dogs out here and walk their dogs on the trails. It's just a great time to get outside and really experience the outdoors. You can see trees at different times of the year. I think trees are beautiful all times of year, including, you know, in the fall and late fall and in the winter time with their silhouettes and the way they look and against the Iowa big skies. It's just a great time to come out and really get outdoors and walk and get exercise. We have four woodland trails. You can walk through our woodland area. We also have a four-acre prairie that you can also walk through. As far as programs, most of our programs will pick up in December. We have Dad's Belgian Waffle event, which is on December 1st. It's a Saturday from 9 to 12. And we also have the opening of our homegrown holidays, and we display Iowa's own homegrown trees that are donated to us, and they're decorated by local organizations and groups in the community. And it's just a great time to see some of the creative people that are out there in the community and what they can do as far as decorating Iowa's own Christmas trees. Starts on December 1st, the same day that the Belgian Waffle event starts. Also, our big event is our holiday gala, December 8th.
So there's a big holiday gala on December 8th.
Yes, and that's from 5 to 8, and it's dinner and music, and it's a great way to experience the Iowa Arboretum. It's also, if you want to get dressed up, you can. Also, we have a tremendous meeting space here, and if you're looking for a retreat or an organizational meeting, it's a great place to come and hold your meeting or retreat.
Okay, and the phone number here is 515-795-3216, and or you can reach them at the iowaarboretum.org. That's www.iowaarboretum.org, iowaarboretum.org. They're located in Madrid, Iowa, at 1875 Peach Avenue. Anything else you would like to add?
Come out and see us. We're a great place, and
great place to build traditions and
learn about plants and trees.
Excellent. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
This is KHOI, Local Talk, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with KHOI reporter Cynthia McClure, and we're talking about the Halloween time.
And these are events to bring people in, focused Halloween celebrations for kids and families, and bring people together. And the other one was over there at Ryman Gardens.
Let's listen to that.
Cynthia McClure here at Ryman Gardens at the Spirits in the Gardens, and this table is, well, lots of spirited little creatures. We got a Singapore blue tarantula here.
This one is the Binagaroon.
It looks like a cross between a beetle and a scorpion.
The tail is the weird thing, because it's, instead of straight out, it's pointing
right or left.
And this is a golden orb weaver spider.
Yeah.
Just hanging on a web upside down in midair. And it looks really impressive. And if I saw this in my house, I would definitely call the animal control because it's really big. So where'd they come from?
They came from the Iowa State Animal Clinic Insect Center.
And this is the tailless whip scorpion. And it is super thin, like a pancake thin, and it has great big long arms. And the white knee tarantula. It is very hairy and brown with little white bands across its legs. And I would say it's more than an ounce, folks. This is a, it would span the length of your hand. It's kind of creepy. And this last one is a curly-haired Brazilian salmon pink tarantula. That is a big name. Thank you guys for your time.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Cynthia McClure. I'm with Sarah Merritt, and she is education assistant here at Ryman Garden. She has a great big spider necklace on. That's the first thing I see with her wearing. So what is your goal with educating the youth?
Well, especially with Spirits in the Gardens, we wanted to, you know, make a kind of a Halloween-related event that really brought the focus back to what do we have here at the gardens. I mean, we have animals, we have insects, we have all of this stuff. This year we focused on spiders and bats, not only because the white nose syndrome that's affecting the bat population countrywide, we thought we'd want to bring that to people's attention, which is really Halloween related, but then also this new species of spider, which is super exciting. This is a brand new species. It was discovered this year in Oregon. Citizen scientists were exploring caves and found this little guy. He's actually about 4 centimeters long. He's called the Troglodraptor, Latin for cave robber, because they found this guy in a cave. He's got these hook-like claws. They're like at the end of his legs. A lot of other researchers and arachnologists have looked at what makes this, you know, they were trying to place it into a family, into a species, and just could not. So they really just realized that it's a totally new species. And so in order to showcase that, that's why we've got the insect zoo here with this display of arachnids. You know, all our trick-or-treat stations we have centered next to one of the sculptures, which also has a nature-connected focus. We really want to bring it back to the gardens, yeah.
Nice.
And really connect it to nature. We have a lot of kids that come in costume, and it's kind of a way for them to come and enjoy the gardens and to also trick-or-treat and to see some new things and obviously to do some activities and to learn some stuff. So we have some animal masks over here that they can come and make. There are a couple examples, a bunny, an owl, a frog, and a bird.
What would you say some of the highlights of this event are?
I think the insect zoo, today they're just on display, though tomorrow they will be interactive. Well, it's kind of crazy. Just come out, enjoy it. You know, there are a lot of people here. There's a lot of things to see, a lot of things to do, a lot of stations outside. And then, of course, 14 acres of beautiful garden space.
So. Definitely. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
And I'm with Sarah Merritt?
Sarah Merritt, yep.
Education assistant here at Ryman Gardens. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is Cynthia McClure. I'm with Nathan Brockman. What is this, anteroom of the butterfly wing where the acoustics are just echoey?
They will be. This is the butterfly wing vestibule.
Vestibule. And you are the butterfly wing curator, so you are the entomologist.
Yes,
extraordinaire.
I am the entomologist on staff here at Ryman Gardens. The Spirits in the Gardens.
Yeah,
Spirits
in the Gardens.
You know, it's a very fun event with lots of kid activities. You know, we've got the candy stations, we've got the craft stations. The Lego show is still on display at the grounds, so the sculptures made of Lego bricks is a big, huge hit this year, so people should come see everything that's going on.
So you were the one that organized the tarantulas?
No.
No?
Those came from the insect zoo on campus.
Okay, you're the one that organizes all the butterflies.
I am the one that takes care of the butterflies here at Ryman Gardens, yes.
Okay. So what butterflies do you have exhibit?
We can have 800 individuals and 80 different species in there at any given time. So as to what's of note, they're all of note. They're all amazing individuals. And what in here changes on a very regular basis. We do have the blue morpho in there, which everyone always likes. It's a big crowd pleaser because of the amazing blue color on it. We have the giant egg fly in there, which is a very territorial individual, so it likes to land on people. The giant wood nymph, which is a big black and white butterfly, which also, if you happen to have just the right fragrance or scent or some chemical compound they like, they will chase you around in there. Lots of long wings. You know, I can go on and on. There's just tons of species in there, so they're all of note. It would be really nice as time goes on if Ryman Gardens could take a bigger role in native butterfly conservation, and that's one of the projects we've been working towards. We're actually going to be rolling out very soon, hopefully at the end of this year, first part of next year, our butterfly app. Oh, it's amazing. It will tell you at any given time how many butterflies are in the butterfly wing. You can easily click a button and it'll show you images of all the species that are in the butterfly wing. And this is using, it'll also let you identify butterflies based on a trait-based key. Other educational content will be thrown in there with it. So it will be a really nice tool when it gets up and running.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Fly we on o'er hill and dale, spruce as God of fairy tale, hemlock branches bless and stay.
This is KHOI, Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with KHOI reporter Cynthia McClure. And we're talking about Halloween. Cynthia, you also spoke with Dorothy Witter at Iowa State about haunted ISU.
Yeah. Some of the highlights of that had to do with different paranormal events happening at Iowa State. And this is a walking tour, and it highlights significant historical and cultural and paranormal events that have happened on campus. And I guess it starts off at the graveyard and goes on to different significant places. Well, I talked to Dorothy Witter, and we have a brief interview, and our conversation was about all the events that are going to be happening with Haunted Iowa State. Here is the interview. Hi, this is Cynthia McClure, and I am with Dorothy Witter, program assistant at the ISU Museums, and there is an upcoming event.
It's called Haunted Iowa State. It's our 10th year of the event, and it started out as a moonlit walk of campus in the cemetery, and it's grown over the years to include different historically haunted sites on campus. It's a self-guided tour, and so we have different historical characters from ISU history playing ghosts. And so it's kind of a little skit as the visitors walk through.
All for students or for anybody?
It is. It's for our students and anyone in the community. So, welcome to attend.
Has any weird events happened? Has anybody got any
strange happenings in the Farmhouse Museum, which is the oldest building on campus. And so with over 150 years of history, I think it's fairly common that something weird could pop up. So we've had reported ghost sightings, and we've had a few members of our staff have strange things happen to them. We have had a few strange sightings in Morrill Hall, which is the second oldest building on campus. And we also include the Memorial Union and Food Science and Beard Shear in our event. I did not go to Iowa State, so it's been really fun for me to learn about Iowa State history. And I think with the Haunted Iowa State event, it kind of is a fun way to learn about history through ghosts and scary, creepy things.
Are you planning anything for the holidays, though?
We do have a holiday exhibition at the Farmhouse Museum, and we'll have that decorated to the historic period of the farmhouse. We have an open house with refreshments, and people can walk around the house and see what it would have been decorated like.
Do you have information like a website or phone number that you
Our museum's website is museums.iastate.edu. It's museums.iastate.edu, and our phone number is 515-294-3342. 515-294-3342.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Walk walk between the worlds, bravely down the candle road. The light will lead you deep into your core. Move into the center, add your sorrow to the coals, with the incense rising steady as a prayer. Though the heart is heavy as the dance is burning down, may you raise your eyes and never bow your head. We are not alone. It only takes the tiniest of fires sometimes to light the way you knew was always there. Keeps us warm, the lights that lead us where we are to go. May you raise your eyes and know with every step, we are not alone. We all come to the labyrinth tonight, walking on the labyrinth in the dark. The way you knew was always waiting for you there. And in the heart of matters, it's the journey keeps us warm, and the incense rising steady as a prayer, steady as a prayer.
I wanted to understand Halloween a little bit better and more in depth.
Samhain is the same thing as Halloween?
Well, Halloween is a anglicized version of Samhain. Samhain occurs at the same time of the year. It's a high holy holiday for the Wiccan community and for pagans in general.
Who did you interview?
I interviewed Elizabeth Rowett and Josh Hubble, who are local pagans in the community, and they are at the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Ames. In the interview, they'll talk about the more important aspects of it and the significance of it and historically and for them as individuals. Samhain is an old Celtic holiday, and what I've
glean from them is that it's a high holy holiday and you deal with issues of family who have passed away, feeding the hungry, helping those in need. Just it's bigger than I thought. It was very educational for me to have this conversation with them.
So let's have a listen to what they had to say about Samhain.
Okay.
This is Elizabeth Rarrett, and this is Josh Hubble.
I'm a shaman, a practicing shaman, and have been for close to 20 years now. Mm-hmm. Shamans are pretty much individuals. I mean, sometimes you'll get them in groups, but very rarely. Our most important thing is to be a part of our community and to work for the betterment of our community as opposed to working for our own ends. And a lot of people think that shamanism is really just a sort of a Native American or South American tradition, but you can go even to Celtic. There were people in the tribes that were the men that took care of things.
Now, I'm a Wiccan witch. Yeah. Some slightly different flavor of pagan from the shaman. And the difference is, you know, Wiccans are one of the largest subgroups under the umbrella of paganism. And we primarily look back to the Celtic tradition of the village wise woman or the village elder who was part psychologist, part priest, and part medical doctor. I am a member of the Iowa Department of Human Services Disaster Behavioral Health Response Team, or DBART. If something terrible happens in Iowa, they'll call for volunteers to do psychological first aid for people. And then also facilitating Persephone's Daughters of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Ames. Mythology is extremely powerful. So many Wiccans work with mythology as a means to sort of understand themselves and understand their life. The thing I like the most about Samhain and Halloween is that it's the time of year when we get to face our fears. A lot of people are very deeply afraid of the darkness of winter, afraid of death. And I think that a big part of the celebratory aspect of it is the opportunity to face your fear of death, to face the goblins and the skeletons and the ghosts, to face them in a controlled sort of a way.
And remember that this time of year, there's going to be an almost biological fear that you just don't even know where it's coming from because we have so many generations of people that knew, I probably won't, statistically, especially back in the Celtic world, statistically, I'm not going to be alive next summer. Back then, the end of summer meant you'd be bringing in your livestock, and you had a lot of hard choices to make because you had 20 head of cattle and enough grain to get 10 through the winter. So you have to kill the livestock, you have to cure the meat, find a way to preserve it, keep it for as long as you can because it's what's going to keep you and your family alive. And even then, a good portion of your family probably wasn't going to make it. So
so it was a hard time, then it sounds...
It was.
It sounds grim.
Yeah,
and if you look at modern Halloween, you get a lot of ghosts and spirits and still kind of carried over from that bad time.
The act of slaughtering livestock can be kind of traumatic for people because these are animals that you would have raised and wouldn't have herded around all summer long. And all the while knowing that, you know, in X number of months...
There would be a culling and...
Yeah. Samhain would be the harvest of animals, you know, the slaughter.
So this was kind of a grim time, but it... They got to eat well.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was really the upside. One of the great things about it is, you know, you get to have a feast.
You're going
to
eat more meat on that one day than you probably will for probably the week coming
up. The entire year.
So it's the last harvest when you're getting apples, the last of your grain.
Yeah.
It was the third harvest.
The first fruits of the field, which are typically things like corn and tomatoes, and that's the first harvest. The celebration of Lu, the sun god. We're harvesting apples at this time of year and making pies, and it's very natural to celebrate when you have an abundance of something, like an abundance of apples. It's very natural to celebrate that.
Come all who hunger, come your rogue and restless souls, come to the feast and let your greatest deeds be told. Raise up your voice and let your songs be free and bold, for this night we feast with the mighty. Come all who hunger, come your rogue and restless souls, come to the feast and
Let your greatest deeds be told. Raise up your voice and let your songs be free and bold. For this night we feast with the mighty. Come all who hunger, come your rogue and restless souls. Come to the feast and let your greatest deeds be told. Raise up your voice and let your songs be free and bold. For this night we feast with the mighty.
Another aspect to the holiday was honoring the ancestors. And that is a tradition that definitely continues in modern paganism and Wicca practice. It's a major holiday for honoring your ancestors and where you come from. Not just the ancestors of blood, but also ancestors of spirit. So people that you admire from the past, that you look up to and admire. And in modern times, what that would probably look like is a lot of Wiccans have an ancestor altar in their home. So that would get fresh flowers, pictures of great-grandma and great-grandpa, and maybe Gandhi. But Wiccans and pagans will go out and, you know, decorate graves and visit with their departed loved ones around Samhain time. And in fact, a group that I facilitate at the Unitarian Fellowship, which is Persephone's Daughters, it's a group for pagan women, and we are having our Samhain observance, and a big part of that ritual is going to be honoring our ancestors.
But okay. If you have interest in anything about this, just get a hold of the Unitarian Fellowship.
The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Ames website is www.uufames.org. UUFAMES.
And if you want to try something a little pagan at home, just to give it a try, my teacher said that on Samhain, take your meal, whatever meal you want, decide that it's your feast, and set one extra plate and give a little bit of food from everything you have onto that plate and don't eat it.
As an offering.
Yeah, as a thank you to the dead.
So that's where the trick-or-treating came into being.
Yeah, a lot of it, originally trick-or-treating was a way of giving offerings to the spirits of the dead. Some Celtic traditions held that even after a person was dead, their spirit needed nourishment. And so a lot of traditions arose around giving nourishment in the form of food to the dead. And Samhain was the perfect time to do that because, again, we had that glut of food from the harvest. Yeah. And so at this time of year, it is practically, as a pagan, I shy away from the word sinful, but it would be considered extremely bad to turn people away. So,
which was an entire code system, almost the same way chivalry became a code system.
Exactly.
So hospitality was very, very important in early Celts.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Especially this time of year because they believed that in the Celtic mythology, the current world that we live in, reality that we know, is separated from the afterlife by a very thin veil. And during Samhain, that veil is particularly thin. So the spirits of the dead and the gods could cross over that veil much more easily at this time of year than at any other. Mainly probably because of, you know, with the slaughter, so many animals were departing that their departing souls kind of became a bridge. So you never knew if someone knocking at your door at the dead of night, desperately needing a place to stay, was really just a beggar from down the street, or it might be the spirit of, you know, great-great-granddad.
Right.
So the perception was just be kind to strangers.
Absolutely.
Never know who it may
Be. Right. There are many many stories of people who turned away beggars or threw old people out of their homes and refused them hospitality. And then it turned out that that beggar was some god in disguise.
Right.
Or a spirit, you know.
Clear up to even a modern Christian version. A lot of the holidays have carried on too to Christian holidays.
Absolutely.
Because of Constantine's decision that the best way to get the pagan world to become Christian was to overlap. The modern Christian version, a lot of times the master is Jesus. The master comes and he knocks as a beggar, and he knocks as an old woman, and he knocks as, I think, a child. I can't remember specifically. But then he comes back, and the person that was waiting for him says, well, I was waiting for you. And he says, well, I knocked three times, but you never opened the door, so...
All you who have gone before,
Join us in peace. Crossing the river of life and death.
Listening to
crossing the river of spirit and breath. Crossing the river of life and death. Crossing the river of spirit and breath. Crossing the river of life and death.
Listening to
crossing the river of spirit and breath. Crossing the river of life and death.
Listening to
crossing the river of spirit and breath. Crossing the river of life and death.
Listening to
crossing the river of spirit and breath. Crossing the river of life and death.
Listening to all you who have gone before.
Join us in peace.
This is Elizabeth Brerit, and this is Josh Hubble. Can you tell me any more about Samhain?
Wicca is primarily inspired by the ancient pre-Christian Celtic beliefs of the indigenous Europeans. In the Wiccan tradition, there are 8 holidays per year, and okay. They are aligned with the solar holidays and the cross-quarter days, and take their inspiration from the old Celtic traditions. And so the 8 holidays, starting with Samhain and then Yule, or solstice, Imbolc, which is right around Groundhog's Day, and then the spring equinox is Ostara, and then Beltane, and then Litha is the summer solstice, Lammas, also known as Lunasa, Mabon, and of course coming back to Samhain. The Celts were very cyclical. They understood that, so it's all very circular, and Wiccan belief is also very circular. We believe that when a person passes away, part of them lives and gets reborn in another form. What goes around comes around, Mm-hmm. We're going to harvest every single year, and every single spring we are going to plant the seeds from the last harvest.
The last of the grain was important because traditionally after Samhain, anything left in the fields belongs to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the religious way to get people to do it. The reason behind it being that you've got ancient farming practices. Your grain's been lying in the mud for the last 2 months. It's probably rotten by now. So
there is a Celtic myth about Jack and the Green, and there's a song about it. Jack and the Green is a character from Celtic mythology who's a grain god, really. And the story goes that 3 kings come to kill Jack and the Green. And they kill him, and they drag his body away, but his blood fertilizes the field. And so it's kind of a sacrifice story. There's a lot of mythology about gods who are sacrificed. Lu, probably the original name of Jack and the Green would be the god Lu. And he is sacrificed as the grain is sacrificed. He's very much identified. He's a grain god. He is the grain. And so when you are cutting the grain, you are sacrificing him again. But he's giving his life so that in the spring you can plant those seeds again and have another harvest next year and do it all again. For the Celts, the old year ended on Samhain. And then we kind of have this in-between time until the solstice. And when the sun, Lu, the sun/grain god, is reborn on the solstice, that's when the new year starts. So that's why our calendar has the new year in winter.
Amber called her uncle, said we're up here for the holiday. Jane and I were having solstice, now we need a place to stay. And her Christ-loving uncle watched his wife hang Mary on a tree. He watched his son hang candy canes all made with red dye number 3. He told his niece, it's Christmas Eve, I know our life is not your style. She said, Christmas is like solstice, and we miss you, and it's been a while. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground the best that they were able. Just before the meal was served, hands were held and prayers were said, sending hope for peace on earth to all their gods and goddesses. The food was great, the tree plugged in, the meal had gone without a hitch, till Timmy turned to Amber and said, "Is it true that you're a witch?" His mom jumped up and said, "The pies are burning," and she hit the kitchen, and it was Jane who spoke. She said, "It's true, your cousin's not a Christian, but we love trees, we love the snow, the friends we have, the world we share, and you find magic from your God, and we find magic everywhere." So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Where does magic come from? I think magic's in the learning, 'cause now when Christians sit with pagans, only pumpkin pies are burning. Tried to do the dishes, her aunt said, "Really, no, don't bother." Amber's uncle saw how Amber looked like Tim and like her father. He thought about his brother, how they hadn't spoken in a year. He thought he'd call him up and say, "It's Christmas and your daughter's here." He thought of father, sons, and brothers, saw his own son tuck his sleeve, saying, "Can I be a pagan?" Dad said, "We'll discuss it when they leave." So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Lighting trees in darkness, learning new ways from the old, and making sense of history and drawing warmth out of the cold.
This has been KHOI's Local Talk. You have been listening to your hosts, Cynthia McClure, and myself, Ursula Rudenberg, speaking about Halloween, or Samhain. Cynthia interviewed a variety of people today, including Mark Schneider, the executive director of the Iowa Arboretum, volunteers, parents, and children at the Arboretum and Ryman Gardens, Greg Gardner, volunteer at the Arboretum, Nathan Brockman, entomologist at Ryman Gardens and curator of the Christina Ryman Butterfly Building, Sarah Merritt, educational assistant at Ryman Gardens, Dorothy Witter, program assistant at ISU Museums and Haunted Iowa State, Elizabeth Rorett and Josh Hubble, local pagans. Elizabeth is a Wicca and Josh is a shaman. Music you heard today was Ancestor Chant by Sharon Knight and T. Thorne Coyle, Songs for the Waning Year, Come to the Labyrinth by S.J. Tucker from the album Blessings, Come All Who Hunger, Sharon Knight and T. Thorne Coyle from the album Song of the Waning Year, The Christians and the Pagans by Dar Williams from her album The Best of Pagan Song, Handfast Blessing by S.J. Tucker from her CD Blessings, and Turn, Turn, Turn by The Birds. The theme song for Local Talk is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Thank you for joining us today to speak about Halloween, and see you next time on the radio.
To everything.
KHOI thanks you, the listener, for making this program possible. Please send your contribution to KHOI at 410 Douglas Avenue, Ames, Iowa, 50010, or go to khoifm.org to donate online. That's khoifm.org. Or better yet, come see us and let us thank you in person.